Part 4. In the midst of chaos. 1. Terminus. He takes a breath. He swallows his grief. He raises his green cowl to shadow his face so that no one can see the pain in his eyes. Xanthus, chosen of Malkador, slips down the shadowed cloisters that flank the Imperial Sanctum. Like all of the Chosen, wounded by sudden loss, he dearly wanted to maintain his vigil in the throne room. But there is too much to be done. Far too much. The Chosen have been working tirelessly since long before the war began, their toil all but invisible. History will not record their efforts, or even their names. The Sigilite called them, fondly, the hidden seamsters of the Imperium. How he will miss him. Though they will go uncelebrated, the achievements of the Chosen are as great as any performed by the Astartes or the Exertus Imperialis. Under the Sigilites' covert direction, they have woven and maintained the fabric of the Imperium, balancing all the vying offices and institutions of governance as a cunning and entirely discreet arm of political administration. They act as a lubricant to allow the great gears and cogs of authority to turn without jamming.
Few decisions of significance have been made in the palace, the Sigilite once boasted, without one of my Chosen in the room.
Great terror. He will miss him. Xanthus believed that when the final hours came upon them, the workload would ease. So much is rendered trivial by the approach of an apocalypse. Instead, though it seems there is nothing anyone can do except wait for some kind of conclusion, the palace seems busier than ever. The heart of the sanctum beats frantically. War court seniors and aides of high council lords and ceremonial officials rush past, each on his or her hasty task. Petitioning nobility pack the mass passageways around the throne room, craving admission. Sentinel guards clear pathways through the crowds. Crowds of Terran aristocracy gathered like pleading commoners to allow Oblivion Knights to lead through processions of psycho-able conscripts. Some of the Chosen help supervise these sacred tithed herds. Sigil protocol is now being implemented in full force. Consilium work crews bring in additional aeropaic devices in wagons hauled by abhuman gangs. The devices, each one huge and strange, like sound mirrors wreathed in filament wires or the tarnished anvils of blacksmith giants, will be conjoined with the throne mechanisms to improve stability. To prolong the Sigilite's, well, not his life, but the progression of his death. He will miss him so badly. All the halls and processionals are packed. The Hall of Worthies, the Hall of Swords, the Menkavite Hall, the Martian Approach, the Hall of Celebrants, the Callisto Galleries. They swarm with ushers and lords, household serfs and dominion governors, Navis nobility and high-status servitors. Xanthus knows that in truth, most of them have very little urgent business. They are finding things to do, inventing tasks and hectic purposes, simply so they can congregate in the throne room approaches where they feel they will be safest. Even here, deep below ground, tremors can be felt. The Delphic is beginning to submit to the enemy's assault. Very soon, the traitors will be inside the final fortress. He pushes through the crowds of purposeless activity, following worthies through to Menkavite, and then heading along the echoing Yulongji passageway towards Martian. The Chosen still have genuine errands to run. Such was the Sigilite's parting gift, a monsoon download of unfinished business. In addition to his stinging bereavement, Xanthus's mind aches from the raw psionic deposition. All the Chosen are still mentally struggling to prioritize the tasks the Sigilite left to them, muddled and unfiltered in his living will. Xanthus has, as far as he can tell, 67 to perform, though there may be others tumbled into the recesses of his mind. Each one, in another age, would have been the most essential thing that had to happen in the palace on a given day. But they will have to wait, because his priority now is the performance of a duty that was left to Hassan, the most senior of their kind, because Hassan, in his seniority, has been called away to the anterooms by a sudden security crisis. Hassan has mentally passed the duty to Xanthus. It is a thought file, marked Terminus. "Get it done," Hassan said. As soon as Xanthus studied the engram, he understood the relevance and the urgency. The sodality had already been instructed. "Without delay," Xanthus replied. So he runs, without delay, down the Yulongji passageway to Martian. It is a matter of imperial security, of interdisciplinary politics. The autonomous authority of the Captain General must be checked. If, as the Sigillite believed, the Imperium survives this day, it cannot emerge with the Legio Custodes, already frighteningly powerful, holding quite so many cards. Moriana Mauhausen of the Chosen is waiting for him in the Martian approach. Like Xanthus, she had tasks of her own to perform, and, like Xanthus, she has been co-opted to Hassan's purpose. Like Xanthus, she is poorly hiding her grief.
"Have you found her?" Xanthus asks.
"I have," she replies. "Is she really the most appropriate proxy for this?"
"According to Khalid, yes," he says. "She has talents that can be exploited to achieve leverage, and Khalid reminded me that she has previous experience with the subject."
"I have reservations, Saranchik," Mauhausen replies. "If we fail in this, the implications..."
"I know."
"I'm saying she is unaligned, potentially divisive, and bears no authority in the Palatine."
"The same could be said for us, Moriana, couldn't it?"
"Even so, she can hear you, you know."
They both look aside. She is waiting nearby, leaning diffidently against the engraved gold panels of the Martian approach. Either side of her stand the officers of the Hort Palatine who have escorted her here as requested. Nearby, the polished alcelite floor is scattered with red petals. There are sprays of flowers in glass vases on every demi-lune table along the length of the approach, and none have been attended by the household staff in days. They are silently shedding petals, as though they wish to lose excess weight and be better able to flee.
"You are Andromeda?" Xanthus asks.
17th of that archetype," she replies.
She straightens up. Her grey robes have a soft feline flow. Her chrome hair glints in the light of the vast electro flambeau overhead.
"You are both of the Chosen?"
Xanthus nods.
"And this concerns foe?"
He nods again.
"Am I to understand this is an unofficial errand?"
asks Andromeda 17. Xanthus reads her grin of curiosity as amused relish. He dares not imagine how the Selenar Gene Witch reads him.
"It comes from the highest authority," he says.
"Well, not the highest, eh? Not the highest. From your master, which is significant, but not the same thing."
"It comes from the highest authority present on Terra," says Moriana.
"Oh," says Andromeda. "That's interesting. And I'm sure you won't elaborate on what that means."
"This is a delicate matter," says Xanthus, "of high priority. A smoothing of interaction between two different agencies."
"Backroom politics? Underhand?"
"If you like."
"Between Malkador's lapdogs and..."
"The Legio Custodes."
Andromeda 17 raises an eyebrow.
"How very Machiavellian," she says. "Do you know who that was?" "Never mind. I would say that this kind of political intrigue seems pathetically inappropriate under the circumstances. We're all going to die. What machinations could possibly be so important that they have to get done now? But you mention foe and the Custodes. I presume they wish to assume control of the little monster and his weapon, and the office of the Sigillite would rather they did not."
"They already have the weapon," says Xanthus. "We may or may not be able to secure it through official channels."
"The Sigillite is allowing them to keep it?"
Andromeda asks.
"You know what it does, right?"
"The weapon is a last resort," says Moriana. "The Sentinels understand this. It is classified Tier 20 as a Terminus sanction. Once the crisis has passed..."
Andromeda laughs.
Once the crisis has passed, she echoes.
Once the crisis has passed, Moriana reaffirms, the weapon will be removed from custodial supervision and placed in more appropriate hands.
Meaning yours?
Andromeda smiles again.
Don't worry. I know you won't answer that. I get it.
The weapon isn't important. The mind that made it is, because the mind that made it can replicate it.
Correct, says Xanthus.
So the custodies want the Maker securely in their jurisdiction. Once the crisis has passed, they want to be left holding all the cards, ready for the next crisis. Or just a clean house after this one?
The custodies intend to execute him, says Xanthus.
Ah, I see,
says Andromeda.
A miserable death for a miserable creature. And entirely deserved. But I appreciate that the Office of the Sigillite doesn't want to lose so vital an asset. The last lord of Old Night represents a weapon that would make the Chosen a more powerful institution than the Primarchs or the Legiones Astartes. The power of life and death over the God-King's creations. In the present circumstances, many would see that as a good thing. The brave custodies certainly seem to.
Do you?
Asks Moriana.
Not my place to say, she replies.
We have a window of opportunity, says Xanthus. A temporary power vacuum, if you will. We procure foe now, or the opportunity will be lost.
You're thinking about the future still. How brave.
The present is out of our hands, says Xanthus. The future is our only viable concern. You engineered his release once. Will you assist again? Andromeda nods. I'll take it from here, Xanthus says to Mauhausen. Get back to your duties. She nods and hurries away, beckoning the officers of the Hort Palatine to follow her. We don't have much time, Xanthus says to the Selenar Gene Witch. Directives have been issued, and the custodies are already en route.
You realize I hate his living guts, don't you?
She asks. Well, that, replies Xanthus, hardly matters.